How often you go to a fast food joint and use the drive-thru?
Welcome to Quickie Burger. May I take your order?
Yeah, 2 Frozy Fudge Blasts.
Will that be all?
Yeah, I think that'll, who are we kidding? Throw in a number 4.
You won't be able to do that at new restaurants in Minneapolis. The city council there recently passed an ordinance banning the construction of new drive-through windows at fast food places. Existing ones get to stay there. The idea here is to cut down on greenhouse gas emissions from idling cars. Other cities have banned new drive-throughs as well, citing less litter, improving pedestrian safety, and enhancing walkability. Some are also doing it, they say, to cut down on obesity. They point to some research that seems to show it may work. There's other research that shows it probably won't. Hank Cardello is a senior fellow at the Hudson Institute, director of their Food Policy Center. He's the author of the book Stuffed, an insider's look at who's really making America fat and how the food industry can fix it. He's a former food industry executive. Hank, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the invitation.
So are people in Minneapolis and these other communities going to be healthier if they stop, if they don't have new drive-thrus, new fast food drive-thrus?
Well, I profess to be a skeptic on this one just because I've seen the unintended consequences of some of these regulations. And I envision if this happens, all the extra trips made by Uber Eats and DoorDash and Grubhub will actually increase the level of emissions. So I do have concerns about this solving that problem.
Right. You don't buy this as a way to make us healthier. Is there a regulation that might get us eating less unhealthy food as you see it?
You know, there have been attempts to do that. I mean, soda taxes were very in vogue a couple of years ago. And there are some metropolitan areas, let's say Boulder, Colorado, Berkeley, California, where they are seeing declines in soda consumption. But one of the things that is not done is they don't look at something called the substitution effect. In other words, if I drink less soda, what else do I consume? And none of that analysis has been done. And we've seen in other places that it really hasn't worked that well when you look at total calorie consumption across the board. So that really hasn't been as effective as it's claimed. So I haven't really seen a good one. Also in Chicago, they implemented soda taxes, and they found that people who lived in Cook County, which is where Chicago is, were taking their grocery dollars and going over the county line and doing their grocery shopping there. So they weren't really changing their habits. So, again, we haven't seen something that's really a strong, effective regulation.
All right, I want to look at a couple studies that seem to point in different directions about the idea of banning drive-through windows, at least new ones, at fast food restaurants. One in South Los Angeles, a 2015 study showed that obesity rates went up after the city banned new standalone fast food restaurants and drive-through windows. Now, that doesn't there may not be causation there, but why do you think that might happen?
Well, what happens is, first of all, there's plenty of fast food restaurants in that particular area. In South L.A., it's an area of very high obesity, so it's clear that that was a target area to try to make some improvements. But nevertheless, you still have plenty of food outlets, whether they're fast foods or other kinds of restaurants. And by banning new ones in there, it didn't really change the patterns. And again, we did see obesity rates go up there. So what happens is you're trying to change consumer behavior. And as the companies know, to really affect change in consumer behavior, you have to spend tens of millions of dollars, if not hundreds of millions of dollars, to change the normal habits. So I think that's one strike going against some of these regulations.
Now, we reached out to a researcher in Edmonton who had looked into drive-through bans in 27 Canadian cities. We invited her to join us for this segment. She wasn't able to. But she said that restricting drive-throughs helps level the playing field with other walk-in restaurants that might offer healthier choices. So in that case, the substitution effect you were talking about might work in a healthier direction, Hank. What do you think?
Yeah, I think if you move it in that direction, for sure. I would like to see, and I generally don't call out companies, I like to see them make voluntary changes, but the restaurant industry for sure has been, they've gotten a hall pass on this entire obesity issue. They haven't done much. The programs that they have implemented really haven't made much impact, and I would like to see them sell more healthy fare. We've done analyses that show that restaurants that are selling lower calorie, better for you kinds of products are actually having gains in their sales. So it's a business imperative now. It's like you would be foolish not to do this. And there still seems to be quite a bit of resistance among certain quarters. So that's the way I'd like to see it happen, where they just do well for their business, and at the same time, they do better for their customers.
Talking to Hank Cardello from the Hudson Institute, talking about fast food restaurants and our health. Minneapolis and other cities around the country are banning the construction of new drive-through windows at fast food restaurants, hoping, among other things, it'll make us healthier. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think of that idea? Would you want to see your community ban the construction of new fast food drive-ups? Do you think it's a difference maker in terms of health, environmental protection, pedestrian safety is another reason people are citing? 800-642-1234. Hank, in your book, Stuffed, it seems like you're making the case that not only should restaurant owners make their fare healthier, they shouldn't necessarily tell people that they're doing it. Why is that?
Well, it's interesting. If you look at consumers who are really tuned into health, and you would, like in Madison, Wisconsin, for instance, or Boulder, Colorado, and those places, there tends to be more acute awareness of what healthy eating is. But for the most part, let's go meet 80% of our neighbors now, and it starts dropping off very radically. And what happens is the minute you say something is healthy, particularly with an indulgent product, that automatically communicates that it tastes horrible. And I'd like to talk about something called stealth health. In other words, sneak some calories out of it, you know, get rid of some of the saturated fats. I mean, in a restaurant, sometimes you order a pasta dish that's 1,400 calories and you don't know it. I don't need 1,400 calories. You could swap out 200-300 calories and never notice the difference and still make your profit and help your consumer or your customer not eat as much. So I think it's easily done if it's executed, and I'd like to see the restaurants step up and do more.
Some people have made the case, and some communities have done this, saying, okay, if you're going to sell that 1,400-calorie plate of pasta, fine, you got to post it, or you have to post at the fast food restaurant the calorie count in your meal or whatever. Do you think that's an active deterrent or educational tool for people to look at and say, wow, that's a gut bomb?
Well, clearly, first of all, I believe in full transparency. I think customers ought to know what's in their food. So I think that's just the appropriate thing to do. I think there are two audiences we're finding out, kind of like a bipolar reaction to it. Again, those who care about eating healthier are taking advantage of reading calorie counts on menu labels and seeing what's inside their products and actually impacting the decisions they make. But again, let's go to our other, let's say, more indulgent 40% in this case that we've looked at, where they don't want to know. They say, I'm going out to enjoy myself. I want to eat. I don't want somebody lecturing me about what I should or shouldn't eat. So the audiences are very different, and I think it's forcing restaurants to actually choose who their primary customer is, because it's very difficult to make all of them happy.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. David is with us in Gurnee, Illinois. David, hi.
Hi, thank you. Yes, I guess my point would be fast food / drive-through type restaurants, their food is so affordable. I just think the vast majority of the population, because of economical reasons, would choose to go there, hence maybe it's not as healthy. But I have not seen healthy food that's as affordable as, say, McDonald's or Burger King.
David, thanks a lot for the call. The price is right, he says, Hank.
David makes a great point. I mean, fast food restaurants can offer you your value meals and not necessarily be healthy meals, although what they are doing is they are migrating to incorporating some of these healthier ingredients. And I think what's happening now with the Impossible Burgers and Beyond Meats that are now both in restaurants and in grocery stores, I'm looking at those to be the impetus for a transition. I mean, I never would have expected a chain like Burger King to introduce the Impossible Whopper. I never would have guessed that. So if Burger King can do it, I think what you'll see is more plant-based type products and vegetable-oriented ingredients will start coming on the scene. There is disagreement about whether they're truly, quote, healthy. They still need, they're still about the same calories, and they have to add a little bit more sodium or salt to make them taste good. But for the most part, they are a better version. And then when we talk about emissions, clearly they take much less energy to make those kind of products versus, let's say, meat.
We're talking about U.S. cities banning new drive-through fast food windows. Hank Cardello is with us, senior fellow at the Hudson Institute and director of their Food Policy Center. He's the author of the book Stuffed, an insider's look at who's really making America fat and how the food industry can fix it. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you a customer of drive-through windows at fast food restaurants? If you go to fast food, do you park and walk in? Do you have food delivered? What if your community wanted to ban new drive-thrus, as Minneapolis and other places have? What would you think of that idea? If you're from Minneapolis yourself or another city that's done this, love to hear from you. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@wpr.org. We'll pick up the conversation, maybe hear from you, coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're talking about cities banning drive-through windows at fast food restaurants. Minneapolis became one of the latest cities to do it back in August. The bans generally only prevent new drive-throughs. They don't outlaw existing ones. Hank Cardello is with us from the Hudson Institute. He directs the Food Policy Center there. He's the author of Stuffed, an insider's look at who's really making America fat and how the food industry can fix it. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Would you want your community to ban drive-up windows at fast food restaurants? Do you think it would make people healthier and or happier? Would you miss the drive-through if it was gone? Call 800-642-1234. And how else do you think we could improve public health, maybe fight obesity where fast food is concerned? 800-642-1234 is the number. Carrie joins us now in Richmond. Carrie, hi.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. So I was just thinking, you know, I'm comparing apples to apples. What about the banking industry with their drive-thrus? You know, they don't have just one. They sometimes have two, three, four drive-thrus going at one time. If we're talking about obesity, I hazard to say that I think there's a lot more going on. Sure, getting people to walk into these places, but I think GMOs play a huge factor in obesity in America.
Carrie, thanks for the call. We do, I guess, sometimes make unhealthy decisions at the bank, Hank, but I think that's probably a different story, right?
Yeah, and baking products were mentioned. We've actually done some studies to identify which products were most closely related to those with obesity, and no surprise, soft drinks, but the number two on the list are the restaurant products and sweet baked goods, bakery products, donuts, packaged pastries. Those clearly are contributing. So anything we can do to get them to sell smaller sizes, I think is a way to go, or innovate, do something different with those products, come up with new versions that have less calories. I think they're major contributors.
Carrie, thanks for the call. Going on to Chuck with us in Eau Claire. Chuck, hi.
Hi. The drive-through, I think, is convenient, and we really need it. So I don't believe banning is going to do anything to help people. The biggest help I see is the stuff that we put in to products to preserve them, and the dyes and all of those things. I think if we make the industry make products healthier, you know, instead of, you know, the way things are, I think it would help.
Chuck, thanks a lot for the call. So Chuck wants more focus on the ingredients in the food than the drive-up themselves, Hank.
Yeah, and I think clearly the packaged goods companies have done an awful lot to improve what goes into their products. I mean, even Kraft mac and cheese is making more natural colors. It's not that neon orange like it used to be. So there are improvements there. Again, I do see opportunities, though, for the restaurants to check up. Chuck also highlighted the convenience aspect, and one of the things we've learned, there's a consumer we call the fence sitters who are really trying to eat healthier, but convenience is so important to them. They're time-pressed. Many of them have kids. They have 20 minutes at night to try to assemble a dinner or pick up something, And that's really, you know, that's 25% of the population. And to take away something like a takeout really, really hurts those folks who don't have any time to begin with. They're just trying to grab a meal that, works for them and their families. And I just think we need to look at other solutions that are more pragmatic and continue to press the food industry for change.
Thanks for that call. We're talking about cities banning the construction of new drive-through windows at fast food restaurants. Minneapolis, one of the biggest and latest. There are others around the country. Hank Cardello with us from the Hudson Institute. Back to your calls at 800-642-1234. Allie is with us in La Crosse. Allie, hi.
How are you doing?
Good. What do you think?
It might have been touched before, but just especially with the younger generation, the tax that the ban that they're imposing is great, but a lot of young people use like Postmates and different delivery apps. A lot of restaurants are doing that on their own. So is there anything else that we can be doing in addition to this ban that's happening in Minneapolis just to reduce carbon emissions?
Allie, thanks for the call. Allie's saying, yeah, there's a lot of the young folks are using different delivery stuff instead of going to the drive-thrus anyway, Hank.
Well, I certainly think for the millennials and what we call Gen Zers, it's more and more of the delivery services, and I think that'll only increase. Again, they're a significant portion of population, but nevertheless, you still have the other, you know, 60% of population and that are still using it. And again, what I just referenced is this convenience crowd still uses the drive-ins, and a lot of people use it, let's say, morning coffee, I mean, all day parts. So I think you have that. I do think, though, going back to the very first question, and that is what we're doing, we're talking about addressing fast food, and yet what we're doing is spewing more emissions into the atmosphere by getting more immediate delivery of not only restaurant products. I mean, we have Amazon now, Prime. All these services are increasing more and more and more, and they are adding more emissions. So I think we need to take a more holistic view to addressing this, and it's not just restaurants.
Thanks for the call, Allie. Iris joins us in Waukesha. Iris, hello.
Hello. I just wanted to say I don't think it's fair to the restaurants that get most of their money because of the convenience of a drive-thru. I don't think trying to make people eat healthier by making it harder to get the fast food, I really don't like eating. I don't eat fast food because I think it's not that good. But as far as businesses go, I don't think it's fair in the business sense to, you know, single out drive-thrus as a way to make people eat healthier.
Iris, thanks for the call. What do you think, Hank?
Yeah, I think Iris is on to something. I think we have to look at what problems we're trying to solve and what's the best way to go at it. And doing something like this, I think, doesn't consider the big picture. Oftentimes when we look at regulations, you know, to regulate, to tax, to ban, to restrict, I always ask when I speak to public health organizations that please broaden your toolkit of considerations to try to solve problems. And that is work more closely with industry to show them case studies and analyses that show them that it's just smart business to be selling healthier products and doing the right things. I mean, one of the things the packaged goods companies, speaking of emissions, are doing now, companies like Procter & Gamble and Unilever and Danone and Nestle are coming together to restrict their emissions and also the amount of plastics they use in their products. So more and more of that's happening. I wish it would happen faster, but nevertheless, it is coming, but I still think there's a huge – one of the things we're not talking about, for instance, is food waste here. When you think about it, restaurants really contribute a ton of food waste along with grocery chains, and I think that's a tremendous opportunity to reduce emissions and also help feed people with healthier products.
Time for one more caller. Raven is with us in La Crosse. Raven, hello.
Hi. I just wanted to say that not everyone is able to walk into a restaurant or a bank or some other business. I happen to be in a wheelchair. It's kind of difficult to unload the chair to get in. So places that have drive-thrus are very important. And a lot of times I won't go somewhere if there's not a drive-thru.
Interesting, Raven. Thanks for the call. Hank, 30 seconds, that's another perhaps unintended consequence she's worried about.
I think Raven nailed it right there. It's something that wasn't considered. And again, it's a convenience issue. It's a necessity. And I think we need to consider those and look broader than just limiting things like drive-thrus.
Very briefly, Hank, do you see the restaurant industry trying to make substantial changes when it comes to health?
I don't see enough. I'll be very candid with it. I wish they'd do more. They do have a program called Kids Live Well, where they have a couple of offerings that they offer for kids that are healthier and lower calories. I think they can do more. I think they're capable of doing more, and I'd like to see a commitment out of them.
Hank, thanks a lot for joining us today.
My pleasure.
That's Hank Cardello, senior fellow at the Hudson Institute and director of their Food Policy Center. He's the author of the book Stuffed, An Insider's Look at Who's Really Making America Fat and How the Food Industry Can Fix It. We talked to him about how some U.S. cities, most recently Minneapolis, are banning the construction of new drive-through windows at fast food restaurants.